as I try to introduce our second distinguished woman for this morning, Briefings from the Top, for our lecture series of distinguished women. It is my distinct pleasure to bring to you at this time Margaret Midge Costanza, Assistant to the President for Public Liaison. Midge Costanza first entered politics in 1959 as executive committee member of the 22nd Ward of Rochester, New York. In 1968, she left her job as Monroe County Party chairperson to join the party's reform wing and run a one-person campaign office for the late Robert F. Kennedy. In 1973, Midge was elected to the Rochester City Council, receiving the largest number of votes of any council member. While the job of mayor traditionally goes in Rochester to the council member receiving the most votes, Midge had her first run-in with sexism in 1973 and was appointed vice mayor instead of mayor. It was in 1974 that she first met Jimmy Carter, who traveled to Rochester to help in her campaign for U.S. Congress. When Carter announced his candidacy for president, Midge co-chaired his New York State campaign. For 26 years, Midge held the same job as private secretary and administrative assistant to John J. Petrosi. Midge closed down Mr. Petrosi's real estate company after his death in 1976, and on January 20, 1977, Midge became Assistant to the President for Public Liaison, the very first woman ever to hold the title of Assistant to the President of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand and welcome Midge Costanza.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Inoculated. In the city of Rochester, New York, I decided that what could I do to really make a contribution to my community, to my state, to my country? And I decided I was going to get involved in politics because I thought government affects every single minute we live. Government affects our lives directly or indirectly. You are spending time here at a conference this weekend that proves that so decidedly. We're talking about rights. We're talking about identity. We're talking about disarmament. We're talking about health. We're talking about employment problems. Government affects your life every single minute you live, directly or indirectly. And so I joined a party of my choice, and I did what women were allowed to do then. Have I got it?
I read it.
And so what did I do? As the executive committee woman of the 22nd Ward I could lick the envelopes for all the candidates who ran in that ward. What a feeling, I said. I said, wow. I mean, I'm really living, not just existing. And then, as promotion after promotion reached me, and the heights were coming closer, I became the vice chairperson of the Monroe County Democratic Committee and was allowed to lick the envelopes for the candidates who ran throughout the whole county. I said, this is living. And then as I talked to the county chairman and explained to him a couple of the facts of life, like, all right, Bob, you know, I don't mind licking envelopes, but every once in a while I'd like to make the decision on what kind of envelopes we buy. I realize this is very major policy decisions and you can't trust it to us. But if you'll just let us sit in the room while you're making these big decisions. And so he said, yes, you could sit in the room. That was his first mistake. We sat in the room and helped him make those major decisions. And suddenly, I became a member of the reform wing of the party in Monroe County because, indeed, we had to broaden our base, and we hadn't done that. And I ran for public office in 1973. If I had been a man in the county of Monroe with the high recognition factor that I had in my community through my activity in charitable and civic and political endeavors and activities, I would have been allowed to run for office and indeed would have been a real plum for public office 10 years before they had allowed me to run. But I finally did run in 1973, and it was amazing. Here were these men saying to me, look, honey, if you want to run, we're going to let you run, because, you know, there's a lot of hoopla out there about women. And, you know, you're going to be the first woman. Somebody unplugged me. You're going to be the first woman ever to run for city council in the history of our community. And so, you got to know, Mitch, you don't have a very good chance after all. You're unmarried. And you're Roman Catholic and you're an ethnic, and my God, nobody will allow you. That's privilege. And so I ran. I got 8,500 more votes than any other candidate. And then I got the vice mayorship. I announced when I became the vice mayor that it's probably the first time they ever had anyone with experience. And I found out, as the only woman on city council, that I had an extra burden that had been placed on me because I was a woman. One that I gladly and proudly accepted. The extra burden of being that much better than anybody else on city council, so that I could ensure that my sister would have an opportunity to run for public office. And I do not say this humbly, and it's the only thing I will ever say to you with humility, because of my race, because of the issues that I just brought up, single, ethnic, a city government, and because I was able to win, there are more women serving in the county of Monroe, in the city of Rochester, in the judicial offices, than ever in the history of our community. Thank you. all come. Because you and I, we agree on the issues. And I covered the phone. I said, boy, is this a nut? But more than that, I like the opportunity to be me, no differently than I was on city council, no differently than the day I voted against my own administration budget on city council because it didn't represent a dollar's worth of service or a dollar's worth of taxes paid. The day that I said no, Susan B. Anthony died in Rochester, New York and lived in Rochester, New York. And my first vote on that city council was to get some money and to take care of her grave that had weeds and debris all over it. Yeah, I come from Rochester, New York, where Susan B. Anthony comes from, and don't you ever forget it. In my first life as Susan, it was much more difficult. I believe in that stuff. He made the error coming back as himself. So now I'm in the White House and I realized when I got there that the problems that I face in the White House are really no different than the problems I faced in Rochester, New York as it regards people. In that White House, in the Office of Public Liaison, I take care of more than women's issues. I have minorities, Hispanics, I have health, human rights, youth, senior citizens. We run the gamut in the Office of Public Liaison, and I'm proud of the things that we have accomplished there. For the first time in history, the Woman Strike for Peace that has marched outside the White House for years were invited inside the White House. For the first time in history, a group who were supporting full amnesty associated with anti-war activities came inside the White House instead of outside. And of
This one?
Yes, the other one burned out.
I burned the other one out. I will never apologize for allowing people to participate in a government they helped select and that belongs to them. People come into the White House, and usually it is getting there is supposed to be the first major step. And then after we discuss what it is that we can do together to solve the problem that they have brought, then comes the substance from that meeting. I've been called a reverend. I have been called lots of things, I'm sure. But let's attack this title of a reverend. It's true, you know. I really am. Because when I walked into that White House on January 20th, and I realized I was just Midge Costanza from Rochester, New York, a woman who wanted to live her life instead of just exist it, a woman who felt that I have the right to choose my own destiny, a woman who felt that government affected every single minute we live, directly and indirectly, and so I got involved in that segment of my society, and I wanted to see things happen. And I looked around the Oval Office where I was standing, and I was scared. You bet I was scared. Did I have the courage to stand up for what I truly believed was right? Would I have the kind of support for a president of the United States for whom I would be working directly? And would I still be able to deal with Jimmy Carter as my friend, my boss, and my president? And I discovered, as I looked around this room, and I looked at the president's desk, and I looked at his chair, and I walked over to it, and I touched it, and then I sat in his chair, and it fit. To me that I suffered like other people, the Oval Office, these walls, the ceiling, the seal of the presidency, the president's desk and his chair. Oh, hey, pish posh. Too many times we have honored the tradition of the chair and the desk and the walls, and not enough have we had reverence for the decisions that are made by the person who sits there that affects every single one of us on every single level, economic, social, and religious, and any other level. That's what we should be concerned about, not the chair and the desk. Who sits there and what they decide that affects our lives directly or indirectly every single minute we live. And suddenly the awe was gone, and I said, man, this president's going to have more trouble than I will. And before I go any further, I want you to know that I truly love Jimmy Carter, and I really mean that. I respect him. I love him as a person. Yes, there are times we don't agree, and I'm sure there will be times you won't agree with them. But one of the things I want to tell you, the historic moment was when I had a difference of opinion with a president that I respect and love, and I was allowed to have that difference of opinion. That's what was important, not the fact that we happen to differ. The fact that it's never been allowed before gives you a pretty good idea of why it got so much press. Yeah, I'm a reverend, but I figure I have to be because I don't know how long I'm going to be there, you know. So I had to move fast. We may not always agree, this administration and the people, but one of the things you can be assured of is that you will always have an honest answer, and you will have a government, an administration, the executive office of the President of the United States that comes from a level of integrity. That you will have. And I don't know what... do I have questions?
Yes.
Oh. Good. You have 3 minutes for questions. I will take some questions. Yes. Wait a minute. Will you sit down a minute, please? Good. I didn't give them a chance to applaud at this marvelous speech I just made. Thank you very much. See, I don't like to frustrate people. They should have... I learned my humility from Bella. Yes.
I'm from the Social Workers Party, and I'm a lesbian. And my rights are very important to me. And you've mentioned human rights, and Jimmy Carter's mentioned human rights. And I don't want to be on television now saying this if I might get fired from my job, thrown out of my apartment. I do not compromise on my rights as a lesbian. And I would never support anyone who did not unconditionally support my rights as a lesbian not to be discriminated against.
Okay, I've got two answers to that. One is, I had the meeting with the National Gay Task Force. Since that meeting, there have been meetings with the Civil Rights Commission. There have been meetings with the Immigration and Naturalization Service. The IRS has made a historic decision on the tax reform. And the President of the United States, right after a bruising defeat in Dade County, gave an interview to Associated Press for Father's Day that I think said more than any president has ever said before. And very frankly, I was very surprised when Jimmy Carter said, I have known people who have been taught by homosexual teachers, and they were never negatively affected by that. He said, I will not tolerate discrimination that is specifically brought upon those people who have chosen a homosexual lifestyle. He said that. I think that is more. It is not what you want to hear. Of course not. It's like me standing here and saying to you, you're not going to get me to stand here after 11 months and saying, now I have an announcement to make.